a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When the irresistible force meets the immovable object. That's what scientists and philosophers have argued about for years, and today we're going to talk about a variation on that. What happens when the irresistible force of the cuteness of Lego figurines meets the immovable object, which is the horrifying 1978 Star Wars Holiday Special? Welcome to another episode of Fan Effect. I'm Andy Farnsworth. Joining me this time is Kellyanne Halverson, our co-host. Kellyanne, welcome.
Happy to be here.
And Herb Scribner, Deseret.com entertainment editor and publisher extraordinaire, man. I've never seen somebody put out as many articles as you can put out on such a variety of topics, which have included quite frequently recently Star Wars, because there's been a lot in the news. But we're focusing today on the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. Herb, welcome back to Fan Effect.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I love that Star Wars, so happy to chat with you guys about Legos and Star Wars and all of it.
Well, then you better have some good insights then, my friend. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to talk mostly about the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, but there's just no way to avoid talking about the original Holiday Special from 1978. And I would invite you to check out the Fan Effect archives, because we did a full podcast about this a couple of years ago. And we'll get to this, I think, but if you've never seen the Lego or the regular Star Wars Holiday Special, it's indescribable is a good word, because you can describe it, but people won't believe you.
I didn't.
And then they'll watch it, and they won't believe what they're seeing. It's amazing. So what happens when you cross those two things over? Well, you get the Lego Holiday Special, which was an obviously intentional part on the part of the makers, obviously, because, you know, George Lucas has spent 40 years plus trying to pretend that the Star Wars Holiday Special never happened. It's never been officially released. There are copies, of course, that have made their way to YouTube. I'm assuming that's where you watched it, Kellyanne.
Yeah, you said I had to before we joined, and it was weird.
Herb, have you seen it?
I've still never seen it, and I'm a little upset that I've never watched it. It's one of those things that I just keep hearing about, and I kind of don't want to. I don't know if like seeing it would ruin my expectations or meet my expectations.
This is what the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special does, or the Star Wars Holiday Special, is it leaves me at a loss for words, because and this is in the podcast. You maybe should just listen to our version of it, because then we'll just give you the highlights or lowlights, and we'll save you an hour and a half of your life.
So long.
That sees Princess Leia sing a song at the end, and Chewbacca's father-in-law look at virtual porn, I think, is what it is.
It was weird. It was so weird.
Dionne Warwick, to be fair, just like many of the groundbreaking things in Star Wars, it saw virtual porn 40 years before we knew what that was.
Wink, wink. Oh, my gosh.
It's kind of disturbing. You'll have a 9-minute stretch where there's no audible dialogue besides Wookiee grunting. Without subtitles, I might add.
In like this weird,
wow,
very 70s AstroTurf treehouse. Like, really weird.
Yeah. So, that's that. But let's talk about happier things. Let's talk about the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. I'm curious, first of all, did you guys find it funny? I mean, I'm assuming that's what it's going for. One of the trademarks of the Lego brand, especially when it comes to games and you know, anything that's digitized beyond you playing with the Legos yourself, they're supposed to be humorous. I mean, that was part of the fun of the Lego Star Wars video game.
Mm-hmm.
That's been part of the fun of the Freemaker Adventures. That's been part of the fun of all the Lego Star Wars stuff. Mm-hmm. It's taking something like that, and it looks really cute when they're miniaturized into little Lego forms.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the hallmarks, in my opinion, for anything Lego is it's got to be funny. So I'm curious, did you guys find it funny?
I think there are bits and pieces that I found funny of it, but it was more just stuff to do with the fact that there are, like, Legos than it was to do with the actual story. Does that make sense?
So, sure.
Like, things coming together the way they do because it's a little linking box and everything. But and there were little moments I liked, but trying to get the funniness to come from calling back to the films didn't work for me. I don't know. It just, I wanted to enjoy it more. I wanted to think it was funnier.
Herb, how about you?
Yeah, I didn't find it very funny at all. I think, like Kellyanne said, like there were a few moments where I found myself chuckling or like, oh, that's cute, or oh, maybe that's meant for like adults to, or kids to find funny. But for an adult, I didn't find it that funny. I was actually surprised at how serious it was because, like, as I'm watching, I thought it'd be goofy, kind of like off kilter, and then like halfway through, I was like, oh, this is kind of like a serious, like half serious thing that like. There's more here about, like, the story that I found interesting than the comedy. And I was kind of surprised because, yeah, like you said, like, Legos tend to have, like, a really cheesy, kind of funny demeanor to them.
For me, the challenge was I wouldn't say overall that it was very funny. I did laugh at the time travel portion. I will say that. You know what? Maybe this will help. I'm going to play a clip from the holiday specials trailer. I actually almost went through the whole special and pulled clips, and then I just thought, I don't think I can fine-tooth comb this thing. I don't like it enough to do that. So here's a clip.
Was the night before Life Day, in a galaxy far, far away. Looking good. Tree, food, decorations. Coming together, heroes were, to celebrate the day.
Please be a cape. Please be a cape.
That's a wrap! For Rey, adventure call. And she thought it would be fast.
Wow.
But there she found a key to the galaxy's past.
Master,
what are you doing?
This is
so cool!
We see my master. My master's master.
Concentrate.
My master's father.
Impressive.
My master's father's master.
Emperor Palpatine?
Hmm?
I don't believe it!
You think maybe you could put a shirt on?
It's a key to travel across space and time.
I will change.
To the future. So sure are you?
Mm-hmm.
Less talky-talky, more fighty-fighty.
All races, gigs, all double gigs!
Oh. So cute.
Galaxy's best emperor.
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Music! A time of joy, this is.
Hooray!
A friendship. A family.
Who are you guys?
Master Skywalker.
My son. I mean, my. These binary sons.
Unta, unta, solos?
You want to shoot first?
After you.
Somehow, that trailer was funnier than the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think, Herb?
Yeah, I agree that the trailer, like, there are a few moments there where I started, like, kind of laughing and chuckling. And yeah, like, the way, like, Vader says, like, those binary suns, like, that's kind of funny. But then when you watch it, like, in the run of the whole film, it's kind of like, oh, yeah. Okay. Like
that's
yeah, that really
a great way to put it because that's what it felt like. You watch that trailer, you're like, this looks funny, and it had those funny moments. But and this was the biggest question that I felt like as I was watching it and when we were deciding how to kind of attack this episode is, who is this aimed at? I couldn't figure that out. If it was aimed at kids, then the Emperor was far too serious.
Mm-hmm.
If it was aimed at adults, it was way too silly.
Well,
and if it wasn't aimed at one of those two, who's it aimed at?
Yeah, I wanted to say it was aimed at kids, but then as well as kids don't know as much of the Star Wars mythology and everything like that, so why would they find a lot of this funny besides it's being said funny?
That's kind of where I thought that. You know,
I'm thinking if this is for a 7-year-old, even if a 7-year-old has watched all of the movies, there's no way he's getting all of the kind of inside jokes and references.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the galaxy's best emperor, that's something that you know, my teenage kids who watch The Office would probably get kind of the joke of the world's best boss kind of thing. But I just, as I watched it, I just thought, I don't know who this is really for.
Mm-hmm.
It treats the stuff as canon as it begins after the rise of Skywalker. Rey's got her yellow lightsaber. She's mm-hmm. training Finn. So in that sense, it's not just total silliness. It's almost like saying, okay, this is a continuation of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But then it veers into, I'm wondering how they came up with the story. They're like, well, what are these funny bits? Let's just put all the funny bits in. Is there some way we could sort of connect all these funny bits together?
Like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Like, you have the only one that we kind of both looked up at each other and kind of laughed at was the, it's a rap, like... it's like they took these standards kind of jokes and smashed them all in one.
Yeah, that was funny. I laughed at It's a Wrap. Okay.
Yeah.
It was also so quick that you almost missed it mm-hmm. in the actual show.
But like, I almost was hoping because of how funny and kind of silly the trailer was, they would have pushed that more in the actual show. And they didn't. Like, it... And particularly Rey. Rey had, like, no sense of humor and didn't really feel warm... like her character developed in the films. Like, I don't...
Well, and I wonder, too, if... I thought they did an okay job once I realized that it wasn't Daisy Ridley, because at first I thought it was.
Yeah, and I'm like, wait, it's too... The voice isn't right.
And I thought, wow, they really softened her English accent for the movies. I didn't realize how much they did, because it seemed very much more English in the holiday Lego one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw at the end that it was... It was a different actress. And I actually want to talk about the cast, but we'll do that in just a little bit.
Helen Sadler.
Yes. And I'm actually going to give you some of the names, because there are names that and voices that you recognize. You recognize Billy Dee Williams from the trailer. So
mm-hmm.
We'll get into that. I actually have the whole cast rundown, and I did some research on what other things they voiced, because some of them sounded familiar enough. And then when I looked through their bios, I was like, oh, that... Because voice actors, it's kind of an insular community, and they one person will do tons and tons of things. That it's actually really impressive when you see how they all cross over. Mm-hmm. But having said that, Herb, what did you like best? And then Kellyanne, I'm going to ask you the same question.
Just kind of like to follow up on all this is like, I felt a little weird like wanting to watch this at first. Cause I was like, well, I should probably just like, watch this to cover it and all that. And I was like, well, I was kind of worried it'd be a little too, kid friendly. And then as I started watching it, I really like fell into the like lore and kind of like the cool storyline aspect of it, and I think that's what I liked best, is that, like, it was, in a weird way, like, a sequel to Rise of Skywalker, so I thought that was, like, that's what I liked best. Like, they actually kind of made it canon and kind of did some things where, if you stretch your imagination a little bit, like, you can say it all really happened, and it's just kind of a funny take on Star Wars. So, yeah, that's what I kind of liked best. It was just kind of, like, a funny, or a lighthearted, but also, like, kind of sequel to Rise of Skywalker. And it actually felt like you said, like it didn't really feel like it was for kids. It just felt for people who wanted a little more out of Rise of Skywalker. So that's what I liked about it.
Okay, Kellyanne, how about you?
I think the thing I liked best about it is that Rey and Rose and Poe and everyone were actually together as friends during the whole thing. It was kind of a holiday party, a Friendsgiving, so you say. And we didn't get as much of them kind of together as an ensemble in the films as much as we did
But we technically didn't in this either, because Rey was off the whole time.
But she did come back and become part of the group. And I think that's something I liked about it is you saw a little bit more of the interactions there, that they had a friendship that developed, that they continued on. So I liked that a lot. And kind of seeing the dynamics within the group that way. But, like, what else? Like, I did like the back and forth time stuff. That is kind of fun, but I'm a sucker for that.
That to me was the highlight, was the jumping
time. I am a sucker for that. And I just wanted more Baby Yoda. I just wanted more
Baby Yoda. So cute.
Aww. That's the whole role.
Well, but I mean, I don't know how long ago they made this. I'm guessing that they... It actually makes me wonder, did they know about Baby Yoda before... The rest of us did, because I don't know how long it takes to animate these things.
Well, it's a very, very
Or maybe it was a scene that they threw in midway through production. Like, oh, let's have them just look at the Mandalorian. They got the musical cue right at the right moment there.
I love that.
But
I love
Anything else you liked?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is kind of stupid for my family. But
I like it a lot, then.
I watched it with my parents, my mom and my dad. And I've been watching Stargate with my mom. She likes to hang out with me in my room at the end of the night. So I've been watching it, so she has. And the whole time she was just cracking Stargate jokes because of the big thing. And so I just thought that was really fun.
I was thinking Doctor Strange a little bit.
You were thinking Doctor Strange? Oh, it doesn't make sense as well.
With the spiral portal?
I just had more fun watching it with my parents than my dad, like, complaining that, oh, every film has time travel now. And it was just a fun experience to watch with the family. Which
I don't like this film, Kellyanne. Why did you make me watch this?
Why is there always time travel and everything?
And where are the grown-ups?
But that's kind of what it's meant to do, is to, you watch it, the kids watch it with their parents, you enjoy it together, you have a little bit of the older Star Wars, the newer Star Wars, everything all comes together, and that's kind of the point of the film, so that's kind of cool.
Okay.
And I did want some yip-yap afterwards, some poultry, some food there. No, it's tip-yip afterwards.
I still don't even know what that is.
It's what they were cooking.
No, I know, but I still don't know what it is. Is it a chicken?
It's Jawa. It just is poultry.
And I did watch it with subtitles on, so I saw that it was tip-yip, but I was like, am I supposed to recognize that? I don't. Maybe they made it up for this. I'd have to rewatch the holiday special. It might have been in the original holiday special,
in,
for
like,
all I know.
The Clone Wars animated series. But, like, in
maybe,
the 1978 version, she's cooking Bantha. I'm like, they should have done Bantha, but whatever.
You can also get... You can also get the Yip Tip stuff at Galaxy's Edge.
That actually might have been a reference then. That might have been a reference to Galaxy's Edge. That's a good catch there, Herb.
I missed that, please.
So for me, the thing I like most about it, I actually liked the voice cast for the most part. I liked the time travel portion was the highlight. You know, the first time where she jumps into the X-Wing fighter and helps destroy the Death Star, I was immediately thinking of all the people who hated Rey as a Mary Sue in the first place, and I was just imagining them angrily screaming at their televisions, even though the thing wasn't over, the show was barely like a third of the way over. And so then the fact that she jumped through a whole bunch more times and did these different things, this idea that, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, so hey, if I can jump back and ask the other masters, I actually thought it was kind of clever, this idea, because she doesn't, I mean, she had like, what, a week with Luke, and he was crusty at her for most of it?
Yeah, but she had time with Leia.
Yeah, that's true, but she didn't have a ton of time with anybody besides Luke.
Yeah, but you don't know how much Luke taught Leia. Like,
no, that's true.
The master there. They seemed pretty intense in their training.
But the idea was she would think that all these masters would have these great things, but the cleverness is in you knowing the whole story and her not knowing the whole story. So, oh, you know who's a good idea? Obi-Wan. He must have taught his apprentice really well. Oh, dang it. He really didn't. Well, Master Yoda must have taught Luke really well. Well, he only did for like a week. You know, this idea that these masters had all this great wisdom, and she never caught them at their finest moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she catches Qui-Gon with Obi-Wan towards the end. She catches Obi-Wan with Anakin in Revenge of the Sith, pretty much. Or no, I guess it was at the beginning of Attack of the Clones. At any rate, she doesn't necessarily catch them at their finest moment. So I thought that was kind of a clever little meta twist on it. But I did. I felt more frustrated than I felt happy. And part of it's because I haven't shown my kids The Rise of Skywalker yet, because I was kind of waiting for, well, they missed it in the theater. And the last time I saw Rise of Skywalker, Herb, was our marathon last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
yeah.
So
yeah.
I bought it on disc, but I never actually have watched it yet. And I wasn't as huge a fan of this, but I wasn't in a big rush to rewatch it. And I know I'm going to get to re-see it several times. But my 7-year-olds, I haven't shown all the Star Wars movies yet. And so I get one shot at this. And so I want to show them in this broken order. So I don't want to, like, I don't want them to watch the holiday special yet, because I don't want them to know all the results of everything yet.
Well, if they have your password, they might have already seen it.
It's possible. Uh-huh. I may have to put a lock on that one. That's a good point. A lock on the holiday special. They've been watching Lego Ninjago like crazy, the younger ones. So that's why I was disappointed that I didn't know who it was aimed at. They took it serious enough that the serious fan might be upset at how flippantly they treat some of it. So they were too serious to be able to treat it sometimes as flippantly as they did, and they were too flippant to treat it as seriously as they did. Mm-hmm. So I felt like they never quite got the right middle ground of between one and the other. to where I would enjoy it from start to finish. So to me, that was the most frustrating part as I watched the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. So let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk about maybe what we were most disappointed with. I feel like we've kind of covered that already because it was hard to give our likes without talking about our disappointments, which I think is a pretty good indicator. There were people I know that loved it. Dan Spindle, who's been a frequent guest on Fan Effect, KSL TVs, he loved it. He thought it was great, perfect for kids. He and I had a lengthy discussion in the parking lot about that.
Really?
Yes. A lot of other things, too, but that was one of the things that we covered. But what we'll do now is let's just take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about some of the voice cast. I was actually really, really impressed with the voice cast that they got for the LEGO Star Wars Holiday Special.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for joining us on Fan Effect. I'm Andy Farnsworth, joined by Kellyanne Halverson and Herb Scribner, both of them of Deseret.com. Kellyanne also dabbles a bit on the KSL News Radio side, plus as our co-host here on Fan Effect. LEGO Star Wars Holiday Special. The point of both LEGO Star Wars Holiday Specials, and it is a thing that is only in the Holiday Specials, and that is Life Day.
Love Life Day.
Which is apparently a Wookiee tradition where they celebrate trees and life and things like that, which works, you know, for a planet. As people may or may not know, and Herb, I'm guessing you probably already knew this. Originally, when George Lucas was kind of scripting out Return of the Jedi, he wanted the finale to be set on the Wookiee homeworld. But when he realized it was going to be too difficult to find enough people of Peter Mayhew's size, you can actually see this. I believe it's in From Star Wars to Jedi, The Making of a Legend. He says, so we just sort of chopped them in half and made them Ewoks. But he really wanted a natural, for Return of the Jedi, he wanted nature and the natural order of things to help defeat the mechanical empire. So this, but the holiday special came out in 1978 before Ewoks existed. And it makes me honestly wonder if the terribleness of the holiday special is another reason why he decided to go with Ewoks, because they're guaranteed to be cute. Because Lumpy, Chewbacca's son in the 78 special, is anything but cute.
Like the most annoying little kid ever.
If you ever saw the Disney, Wide World of Disney show Fuzz Bucket, just look it up. I'm not even going to dignify this show with any more description than that. But it didn't work. And so maybe by going deliberately cute with the Ewoks, the saddest scene in most of movie history is when the poor Ewok gets shot by the AT-ST, and then he's like, Mama, Mama, and he's touching him. But, sorry, now I'm lost in the sad moment. But at any rate, Life Day is a Wookiee planet thing, and it's made it now into both. And I thought that was actually a good idea, was to make it about Life Day. Plus, it's the holiday special, so you're going to have to invent a holiday for a universe that was very devoid of holidays in the movies and the TV shows.
Well, they gave it a specific day, too. It's November 17th. So every last day, we gotta have some fun there and get our tippy-up and bantu and things like that.
Well, Kellyanne, next year we look forward to trying your tippy-up.
Oh, yes.
And blue milk.
And blue milk. And blue cookies.
Macaroons. I did like watching Luke drinking from the blue milk carton. The fact that it was
yes,
a carton made that very
coming.
Fun.
So
and
great.
He just kept, like, slurping it at all these times. That was a pretty thing that was pretty well done.
And young Luke was pretty funny, too, I have to admit. Of the characters in there, young Luke was really pretty funny.
And that was probably a good spot to pick him from. That's going to be where he's going to be at his funniest.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed that it wasn't Mark Hamill. I did read that he was never asked.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like a good way to segue into the voice cast. And let's talk about that, because the voice cast, as I was listening to it, I knew which ones, I could tell which ones were the actual voice talent. Billy Dee Williams was one of them. There was just a few. There was actually three from the movies that made it into the holiday special. Anthony Daniels was C-3PO.
Mm-hmm.
great article in Variety or Hollywood Reporter or something where he says, as long as I'm alive, I want to continue to voice 3PO. But when I'm gone, I would hope that he would also continue, like that someone else would pick it up. But if I'm here, I should do it. And I agree with him.
I like that.
Billy Dee Williams, he's voiced Lando now in Star Wars Rebels. He played Lando, obviously, in all the movies, Empire, Return of the Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker. And now he's voiced him in this.
And Robot Chicken Specials.
And Robot Chicken Specials. See, now those, not safe for kids, but those are funny. Those know what they're doing. So here's the voice cast of people that you might recognize.
One.
Oh, Kelly Marie Tran.
Kelly Marie Tran.
But then, of course, they didn't give her anything to do in this.
I know. That did make me a little mad.
I'm wondering if that was a joke again. Like,
I don't think it was a joke.
That's a pretty cool joke if they were to do that. And so, especially since they made a big deal out of it in the casting announcement, was, Kelly Marie Tran reprises her role.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I thought, maybe this is kind of a meta joke. Like, we don't have a lot for you in this, so maybe we could make that part of the joke. I hope not, because
I think it's
too soon for that. But here are some of the other voice names. Now, the main characters, Eric Bauza voiced Luke and a stormtrooper. He is voiced, Eric Bauza has, I hope I'm saying that right, he's the voice of Luke in all the other LEGO Star Wars videos, plus a ton of other stuff, honestly. It was so many things that I was like, nope, not even going to try to write all that down. Which voice stood out to you most? Or which one did you listen and think, oh, is that the real person? Even if you knew it wasn't.
Yeah, definitely Rey threw me for a loop. Because like you said earlier, I thought maybe she was in it, and I was like, because I remember writing a story about just like, you know, the casting announcements, and I was like, I don't remember if Rey got involved in there. That one was really surprising. Some of the other ones, like, you could pretty much tell, like, you know, you could tell, like, obviously James Earl Jones wasn't there, and just a lot of the characters you could tell just weren't who they were. Some of the other ones that were kind of cool, I just remember some of the voice actors from the Clone Wars showed up in it, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yes.
That was nice to see. That was a good way, because I'm like, you have those voices, so why not use them?
Exactly.
So that was really nice. Yeah, so that was cool. And yeah, it was just, I like that they brought in some of the characters, though, or some of the actors to do the real voices, because it felt a little more real that way. And I think, it was just kind of cool that way. I was surprised by the Mark Hamill thing when he didn't, you know, that he wasn't there.
Especially because he's a known voice actor. That to me was the part of the surprising part.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they couldn't afford him. That is a possibility.
Well, they didn't ask him.
But it did work because they did. Bowser has voiced Luke in the other LEGO movies, so there is some consistency with that. And I believe he's the voice of Luke in some of the video games, like the pinball. I have all the Star Wars pinball games.
Oh, of course you do.
And I think he's the voice in that as well.
I was thinking Mark Hamill was Palpatine for a while, though, because the voice sounded very similar to the Joker version and kind of the very extreme push that he does on the Joker's voice. But
that would have been a funny thing, too, I think, having Mark Hamill be the voice of the Emperor. I think that would have been funny.
And I think that's also what my brain thought was like, oh, I wonder if that's him, because it kind of sounds like him. And that's when I pulled up IMDb and no, it was Trevor
Duvall,
who also was like a trooper and a couple other things.
He voiced Palpatine in all the other LEGO videos. And most famously, his voice of Rocket Raccoon in the recent Marvel animated TV series.
Okay.
And he did a bunch of My Little Pony stuff, which I have unfortunately heard because I have daughters.
Aw.
But you're right. When you talk about from the Clone Wars, you've got Dee Bradley Baker, who voiced the clone troopers in Clone Wars and Rex in the Rebels. And they're the ones that said, jinx, at each other. That was fun. That might be my favorite line of all of it, is when they say and do the exact same thing at the exact same time because they're clones.
Classic, man.
You also had, James Arnold Taylor was the voice of Obi-Wan. I don't think he's done a whole lot of other things. So the guy who voiced Han Solo, I thought that was a pretty close one, he voiced both old and young Han Solo. His name is A.J. Locasio. He's voiced Solo in all the Disney Star Wars stuff. And he, if you've played the Back to the Future video game, was the voice of Marty McFly in those games.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Ben Prendergast was the voice of Darth Maul and General Hux. I was kind of disappointed they didn't use Sam Witwer, who voiced Darth Maul in the Clone Wars series.
Mm-hmm.
But Ben Prendergast was the voice of Hux in the Resistance cartoon, if you watched that, the Star Wars Resistance. Let's see here. Gray Griffin, she was the voice of Padme. Yeah, she was Maz Kanata. She's voiced Padme in and Asajj Ventress in the original Clone Wars short. So back in the original one that was done by the guy who did Samurai Jack.
Uh-huh.
The original animated Clone Wars, not the CG animated ones.
The film version that came out? Or
No. It was actually hand-animated.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's... I can't think of his name.
I think they were on Cartoon Network for a while.
Yes, yeah. That's the one. It was hand-animated. It was where General Grievous was first introduced, actually.
I need to learn more about the Star Wars universe, you guys. This is all cool.
There were two volumes. But anyway, she voiced Padme in those. Then we've also got, Matt Lanter voiced Anakin Skywalker and one of the Rodians. Thought that was kind of funny. The voice of Vader, so since we mentioned that, would have been great to have James Earl Jones. For your sake, Herb, they actually did use James Earl Jones with some new dialogue in the 1978 holiday special. They took a bit of footage from Star Wars and then they had him voice over something else.
Mm-hmm.
About, you need to go find them on Life Day on the Wookiee World or something like that.
You have to go see it. You have to go see
and
it.
And then they used his voice in the cartoon where they introduced Boba Fett, which
mm-hmm.
there's ties to the holiday special. I don't know if you knew this, Herb, but I feel like you did because I thought you'd posted an article about this. But the Mandalorian, Din Djarin, I don't know how to say his name, he is based on the Boba Fett designs from the Star Wars holiday special. That gun that has the two prongs on it, that's the gun Boba Fett had in the Star Wars Holiday Special. It was very crudely and poorly animated. Very, very poorly
really
animated.
Weird eyes. Their eyes were super weird and big, and it was just this weird...
If you've ever seen some 70s animation, there's a French cartoon called Asterix. And it's a big deal over in Europe especially. It's a cartoon. He's like... he's this short little... almost Viking. He's like a French warrior from the... Dark Ages. The animation for it is—it's like when you've had a bad dream. If you're in a cartoon, it's just there's something off about it. It's not very realistic, and that's how the Boba Fett cartoon was animated.
But the story was okay.
The story was all right. They don't know
like,
who
I
he is. And
I would give this a chance
on the planet.
When I was a kid.
So, at any rate, they did not—they didn't get James Earl Jones for this Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. They got. Where did my thing go? Matt Sloan. Now, Matt Sloan is the voice of Vader in all the video games, The Force Unleashed included, if you played that. And he's also, this is really funny, did you ever see Chad Vader, the YouTube series?
No.
No, never saw that.
Oh, my gosh. He's Chad Vader.
What is that like?
It's you'll have to look it up. Chad Vader is like the assistant manager at a grocery store, and it's Darth Vader only with like a white, it's Darth Vader mask. With a shirt, a short-sleeved white button-up shirt and tie, and it's the comedic adventures of Darth Vader was an assistant manager at a grocery store.
That's like the ordinary adventures of Batman.
You need to check out Chad Vader. He's comically inept. It's almost like if you crossed Michael Scott with Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Or Dwight Schrute with Darth Vader. Not even Dwight. It's got to be Michael Scott as Darth Vader. But at any rate, so the guy who invented Chad Vader is the voice of Darth Vader in this official Disney Star Wars canon cartoon. I thought that was pretty clever.
Did he get started with Chad Vader?
That might be how they discovered him.
Oh,
I don't know.
I freaking love it, if that's true.
Then we have Omar Benson Miller as Finn, which was not to John Boyega.
Mm-hmm.
Omar Benson Miller, if you've seen the show Ballers, he was Charles Green on Ballers, and he was Walter Simmons on CSI Miami. So he's actually had some on-screen stuff. Does that sound familiar?
He was in the I think it's the same guy who was in 8 Mile, the Eminem movie.
Yes,
that
it was.
Came out
it was.
Ago.
I
yeah,
just
yeah,
didn't know
yeah,
if anybody
guy.
Would know that. I went with the things that more people I thought would watch, Ballers and CSI Miami. Then we've got, here's the other thing. So Tom Kane was the voice of Yoda, and he's voiced Yoda any time it hasn't actually been Frank Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Here's interesting stuff. He's also the narrator on Clone Wars.
He is?
The guy with the voice like this at the beginning.
Okay, you did that so well.
Panic across the galaxy. That's Tom Kane who voices Yoda. He's also the voice of Admiral Ackbar in The Last Jedi. Because the guy who voiced Admiral Ackbar, I think, had passed away by the time they did that. He's the voice of Magneto in the games and the animated series for X-Men. And if you've ever watched Powerpuff Girls, he was the professor. And I don't know, I actually thought maybe only you would have seen this, Herb, but if you've ever watched the animated series Archer, but he's the voice of Woodhouse, the old butler guy.
Oh, wow. Wow. Look at that.
Very good, sir. I thought they did a good job with the voice cast, and you better get it right. You know, what's interesting, too, is the original LEGO Star Wars video games, there was no voices. It was, and they just made noises, and everything had to be pantomimed. And that was part of the humor. Then by the second LEGO Star Wars, they started using voices. By the other times, they started using voices in all the LEGO video games. And I think that's worked out well. And then, of course, once they do LEGO animated specials of any kind, mm-hmm. you're going to have voice talent, or no kid's going to sit there and listen to no dialogue.
That would be awkward.
It's funny in the
whole hour.
But in the original video game, they were just cutscenes, so it didn't necessarily mm-hmm. have to have long stretches of dialogue. But did a decent job. I'm a little disappointed with the Disney money and power behind it that it wasn't a little bit, or that they couldn't pick more of a track. You know, we're in the middle of Mandalorian, and it just seems to be nailing everything. It nails the funny parts. It nails the fan service.
The action.
It moves the
humor,
story ahead.
The heart.
You get jaw-dropping moments. So maybe it suffers by comparison just because it's coming out at the same time as something that's as well done as The Mandalorian seems to be. But I just, in an ironic way, I'm kind of glad that it's not the greatest, because that's actually closer to the holiday special from 1978.
Yeah, it was. I wish they would have leaned into it even more, though. Like,
I don't know.
A little bit of
they brought Lumpy and Mala and father-in-law back again.
It's a weird missing.
And that's the thing. They never explain really who that is.
You have to watch it.
In the show. So they just, here comes these three growling Wookiees, and everybody in the show recognizes them, and everybody above a certain age probably recognizes mm-hmm. them, and everybody else is like, what?
Why is there Wookiee?
Yeah,
there?
I didn't recognize who they were. And then, like, later I was reading a review, and they said, like, oh, yeah, they show up in the original, and da-da-da. I'm like, oh, okay. But they never really explained that in the new one at all.
But, like, there were those little meta moments I really enjoyed throughout the whole thing, whether it was calling back to the holiday special of 78, or, like, my favorite, which is the first one I actually, like, outright laugh probably, was the participation trophies for Jedi there are not by Yoda. Like, these, like, stupid little things. I'm like, okay.
I like that line.
This is good. I like that there. Or, like, when Obi-Wan hits Rey with a hello there. Like, the... all these, like, little...
Well, hello there. You look like a woman I knew named Satine Creed.
Oh, my gosh. So, like,
that's
I just like that meta.
Herb, since I know you haven't watched it.
It's good.
Oh, no, I understand that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay,
that.
good.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, and then, like, next thing, some of the LEGO visuals that you can do, like we mentioned, the blue milk that he kept pulling out and eating, or Darth Maul, how he was just literally cut in half. It was half a LEGO during that last fight scene. So that was kind of fun and everything, but it was, and I did like Emperor Palpatine and Darth Vader's interaction, because it was just so over the top, and these evil, dark people being just so unknowingly comedic. So that was a lot of fun stuff.
Really, that to me was the weakest story point, was the whole Darth Vader Emperor dynamic. I feel like they could have tweaked it and cut out some of the dialogue between them.
Yeah.
And I thought it would have worked better and been funnier, because, you know, if Emperor was just tossing it out, I mean, this whole idea of, wait a minute, all this doesn't work, I can change it? Sweet. Like, that's kind of clever, but it just seemed, I don't know.
See, maybe that's what I wanted from seeing the trailer. I wanted it to be really over the top and funny and those type
but
of
interactions. But it wasn't funny. That was the problem.
I thought it was. Like, that back and forth between them and the whole best boss and jealousy and things like that happening, I kind of liked it. It gave me some Robot Chicken vibes. And, well,
you know,
this is a nice look.
Maybe by the fact you brought up Robot Chicken, maybe that's where it's been suffering.
Ah.
In my mind, is it suffering by comparison, because that was so spot on. And
so
I thought that did the parody better, but it was also aimed at a grown-up audience that was supposed to get all the jokes. So maybe it was a little too Robot Chicken-y. I don't know. I'm going to have to watch it a couple more times, and I'm sure I'll see it more times than I want to. But, Herb, you have got to watch, as long as you can get, as long as you can take it, you have to try to watch that 78 holiday special. It's on YouTube.
I do admit I did have to turn up the speed on it, because I could not watch it at normal be because it was just so long and very much that 70s variety hour filled yep. thing where we're just trying to hammer in these actors and things like that. And Bea Arthur singing and...
Dude, there's Bea Arthur, Harvey Korman, and Tim Conway playing like semi-serious roles in Star Wars. And Bea Arthur's like the co-owner of the cantina where Luke meets up with Han the first time. Like I said, I can describe it to you, but you got to see it because, and even when you see it, you're going to be like, no, this is a joke. Somebody put this together. Luke Skywalker has his hair cut short. He looks like, not Mark Hamill, he looks like Dorothy Hamill.
He's like really weird eye makeup on, too.
And I don't know if this was right before or after his crash.
Oh, that would make sense.
But at any rate.
Well, it's very, I just brought it up on YouTube and I just clicked a random part in the timeline and... The first thing that shows up is legit a Wookiee in, like, an apron in the middle of the kitchen. So, yeah.
There you go, man. And that's 9 minutes in. Like, that's the first 9 minutes of the show, man.
There's no speaking at that point yet.
Here's the part that's going to be the weirdest for you, and I really encourage you to listen to our deep dive from a couple of years ago on the 78 holiday special.
We'll link it in the description.
It's so weird to see those actors at that age... in those costumes, because it's them, and it sounds like them, and it looks like them, and they're giving you dialogue that you've never heard before, except it's so bad that you're just like, you're like, this was a joke. Like, somebody, this was a gag reel that they gave to George Lucas and said, hey, George, Merry Christmas. Look, this is what we're putting on TV just to scare him, only they actually did put it on TV.
But, like, it's kind of become a really cool cultural touch point and phenomenon, like... Like, here we are, how many years later, talking about it? Because we have to see it, even though it's so bad. Oh, it's so crazy. Like, Harrison Ford in it looks like he just does not want to be there the whole time. Like,
well, they got their two lines out of him.
That was it.
But I'm serious. I can't tell you what a weird thing it turns into. Jefferson Starship plays a song during the show. They all wear these red robes that look like they're part of a doomsday cult.
With little glowing orbs in their hands.
It's so
crazy.
Yeah. So check it out. If you'd like, honestly, I recommend anybody who hasn't seen it, just look it up on YouTube. Watch some of it. Again, I promise you, you won't believe that it was ever made, but it's there it is. Thank heavens for YouTube, because this was passed around on bootleg copies of videotapes for years and years.
Well, like, yeah, I kept trying to watch it years and years ago, and I never saw it. And so when you were like, go watch it. No, it's not anywhere. Like, no, it's on YouTube. Go watch it.
And when it gets taken down, somebody else puts it up somewhere. Because it this is where it needs to be, and this is what YouTube really was invented for, was to keep the Lego Star Wars Star Wars holiday special alive 40 years ago.
You know, one thing that kind of surprised me of it, though, it had kind of a 1984 vibe to it, though, with, like, the wall screens everywhere and people being forced, like, basically to watch their programming and things like that. So that was something I wasn't anticipating part of, like, the Star Wars universe is every house has to have a screen on. Like, it was so weird. And then, like... The Wookiees are so obsessed with technology for people who live in the trees. Like,
well, that was actually intentional by George Lucas. He wanted to have this thing where, you know, the dog knew as much about a ship as a guy.
Ah.
And so even though he couldn't communicate it, he was still there. And that, he also said, was the challenge, is by having already established that the Wookiees were technologically savvy, they needed to have the Ewoks be the opposite of that because it needed to be nature more than...
But, like, Wookiees being technologically savvy is different than all they do is watch TV and rewatch what they're watching with them type of feel that came off of it, including porn with Grandpa Wookiee.
Never thought I'd hear Kellyanne say that. That's funny. And now it's recorded forever and ever.
Learned too much about me. What singer was it?
Dionne Warwick.
With Dionne Warwick just singing a song in, like, a pretty outfit and kaleidoscope-type stuff. But, like,
but he's literally watching virtual reality. He puts on a headset and everything. This is 78. He puts on a VR headset.
Well, and the trader that gave him to him was like, you're going to enjoy this, wink, wink. I'm like, ooh, I would not want to.
And then he, like,
kids.
Settles in, like, a recliner
in
with his
room.
Headset on. I'm telling you. It foresaw a lot of things that I can't believe it foresaw.
Like, the one that I did like was the animated one, which is Lumpy, what a great name for a son.
Yeah, Chewie, real original there.
Well, but, like, Chewbacca, Chewie, like, I assume...
Maybe his name is Lumpbacca.
Lumpbacca and Itchbacca.
Oh, that's right, his name is Itchy. Itchbacca. His father's name is Itchy.
Itching your back. Okay, I'm fine. The only other
and it's not even, like, pleasant-sounding Wookiee growls. It's, like, get on your nerves, make your hair stand up, Wookiee growls.
Well, and the mom seemed like a bit of a nag throughout the whole thing. There wasn't, like, warmth.
She was wearing
her.
An apron.
She took it off.
By the way, that was Chewie's wife, Herb.
Yeah. Stunning.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, right?
I don't know. You gotta watch it. It's fun.
Well, I think we highly recommend you check it out for yourself so that you can believe it. Then check out our archived podcast of when we deep dive into it, because it is a riot. It just is. And you know, the Lego Star Wars holiday special, hey, I'm okay with them keeping doing stuff like this. I hope maybe they can find their a little bit better footing in the future, because
mm-hmm.
I know there'll be a sequel. I applaud them for trying. I like that we didn't know much about it until all of a sudden, like a month before it aired, they're like, hey, we have this.
And I was kind of, like, I thought it was fun and everything, but I was surprised there wasn't as many, like, toys based on it out there. I was trying to, on the Lego website, looking through, trying to find it, and all they really had for Christmas Star Wars is the advent calendar. And, like, and that's kind of what it felt like, is we're going to make this, and you're going to want to buy the toys. Like, did you ever see Homestar Runner and, like, the Cheat Commandos, the Cheat Commandos in it, buy all our playsets and toys.
No, but that sounds about right.
Yes, that's kind of, I kind of wanted some of that stupid Life Day Lego stuff. That would be on my desk. I would do that just because I think that's hilarious.
Can I buy Combat Carl anywhere? Because that's the one I want.
Combat Carl! I don't know.
I'm going to give my kids a pile of Lego bricks
mm-hmm.
and call it the... There you go.
There you go. We'll beep it.
Or I'm going to at least, very least, make a meme out of that. I'll hint at the tweet. Spoiler alert, but...
Spoiler alert.
All right. Okay. Well, that's it. Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. It's good to have you with us again, Herb and Kellyanne. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
It was fun. Thank you.
As always, good time, guys.
Thanks, Herb.
You want more holiday specials like this? Sound off on our Facebook page. And thanks for listening to this episode of Fan Effect on the KSL News Radio's podcast. Beyond sci-fi, fantasy, gaming, and tech, we're excited to share with you our knowledge and arguments on everything pop culture and fandom based on the beautiful Beehive State, based out of the beautiful Beehive State. Fan Effect celebrates Utah's unique fan culture, and we're excited to bring you local guests that feel the same way. I'm Andy Farnsworth. We had Kellyanne Halverson and Herb Scribner. We invite you to listen regularly on your favorite platform, KSLNewsRadio.com, or even better, on the KSL News Radio app. If you have a fun idea or local fan culture topic you want us to explore, let us know by messaging our Facebook page, at FanEffectShow, that's EFFECT, where you can also get the latest nerdly updates and join the conversation. Follow us on Instagram, at FanEffectShow, and Twitter, at FanEffectShow. Thanks.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another... pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.